What a joy it is to worship with you. And our gospel reading today begins with Jesus saying, or the text saying, that Jesus told the people a parable. And I think this is the first parable that we've had together. So here we go. Here we go. The text continues. Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always. And Jesus continues to tell them this incredible parable that we'll consider together this morning. And at one point, does Jesus not refer to the practice or the existence of prayer? Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always, and then didn't even refer to the word prayer in the parable. This is a move reserved for the pros. My father, as a kid, said, "Jake, we're going to go to Dallas," which is what we did just about every other weekend for soccer tournaments. It was 100 miles. In West Texas terms, it was like driving to the grocery store. I said, "I want you to come help me. I've got some work to do, and we're going to talk about the birds and the bees on the way to Dallas." And so we hopped in the 1980 Chevrolet pickup, single cab, long bed. This was an incredible truck. Can you imagine? It got 5 miles to the gallon. I mean, unbelievable. It weighed as much as all of our cars combined. Never, ever has there been a longer 100 miles in my entire awkward life. And not one time did my dad ever talk about the birds or the bees or the flowers or the trees. You see, there are these things in our lives and in the world that are so important, that are so true, that they're woven into the fabric of everything and need not be mentioned at all. Prayer is before and beyond and beneath almost everything. Prayer is almost everything. Jesus tells them a parable about a widow. And there are some details missing in our text this week that I think are important for us to know. This widow was short. And if you ever meet a short widow, don't mess with her. And the text doesn't say this, but I'm nearly certain that this widow, like many of the older widows in our congregation, carried with her something that could be used in need of a dire situation. Welcome back to Texas. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a cane. I think this woman carried a cane. And at this point in history, women really only have two, maybe three places that were acceptable for them to be. The first, of course, is a virgin in the home of her father. The second, of course, is a son-bearing wife in her husband's home. And the third and final position would be a widow in her elder son's estate. Where is the elder son in this story? Why is it not he at the temple gates, at the city gates, seeking the justice for his mother? All of this begs the question, where does this woman belong? And where do you belong? This woman was told by her culture and her context to live a passive life. What has our context told you? What has our gender norms, what have our stereotypes, what have our educational systems, what has our religious tradition said is your place What sort of external limitations have been placed upon you? Do you have a cane? And are you willing to hold on? Are you willing to day after day seek the justice that ultimately comes from our God? Jeremiah speaks in our Hebrew scripture reading, the prophet Jeremiah speaks of an old covenant and a new covenant. Our Bibles, speaking of categories, our Bibles are divided into two categories. Are you with me? The first category is the words, right? The second category is the maps. And if you're a real Christian, the third and bonus category is the pictures. I don't have many pictures. No, our Bibles are divided into these categories, this Old Testament and this New Testament. And Jeremiah says the Old Testament was established by God with the people when the people who are in bondage and in slavery in Egypt cry out to God, and God hears their cries and delivers the people. And on the way, in that sacred in-between, on the way, God gives them a path, a law, a written code, a way to enact their faith. And as the people do, they fall short time and again. And then the prophet Jeremiah speaks of a new covenant, a new way in which God is behaving, and that there is this new way in which God will write the law of the Lord on our hearts. And that the goodness and the forgiveness of God is beyond limit. Which is better, the old or the new? Isn't the new pastor great? Who said that? He's so good. New is always better, right? That old pickup. Side note, one of my brothers had a 1968 Ford Mustang. The other had a 1955 Chevrolet pickup. I had a 1997 Ford Ranger stick shift, four-cylinder, single cab. Let's say, generously, all three of us weighed 200 pounds apiece. Because my brothers had these cool cars, you know what that meant? They rode with me, because their cars were broke down all the time. 600 pounds in the front seat, that's not safe. My father's car that he drove for over 20 years, 300,000 miles, he'd take the motor out and put in a new motor. These old cars had parts that you could actually work on instead of computers that you had to plug into a machine. They don't make them like they used to. Which is better, the old or the new? Yes. Yes. We need to get our but out of it. It needs to be an and. I believe that the Hebrew mind, more so than our mind, could have old and new. Old with new. The dualism that exists in our psyche and in our constructs, I think, limits us in understanding the value of new and old. Old and new. Which one is better? Yes. And so Jesus tells a story about a woman and an unjust judge. In some respects, this is a new story. And in other respects, it's the same story Jeremiah is telling. People who are enslaved, held captive to a system, cry out to God day after day, night after night, and God hears their prayers and delivers them. Jesus tells the story of a widow seeking day after day, night after night, justice from an unjust judge, and God hears her prayers and grants her justice. Our God has always been hearing our prayers, always granting justice, always by nature giving grace. Always by nature, our God has existed and enacted and given love. It is not old or new. It is. It is. Jesus tells a parable as he is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus tells the story of justice and fulfillment by way of a widow as Christ himself is headed towards injustice, betrayal, death, burial, and resurrection. And in this story, the persistent widow is eventually granted justice from the unjust judge. Nevertheless, she persisted. Don't email me on that one. Don't read too much into that one. Comedy has its place. Nevertheless, she persisted, and the unjust judge granted. And this is an insight as to the beauty, as to the value, as to the possibility of persistence. And yet, we know at the end of this story, the judge is still unjust. Not everything has been redeemed. The Dr. Seuss version says, as the judge had granted justice, his heart grew three sizes. Which begs us to be reminded that even at the granting of justice for the widow, there is still so much left unfulfilled. There is still so much in our lives and in our world that is left unfulfilled. Now, you may not know this, but now I get to tell you. You showing up, you being in this sacred space, you being in this rhythm that we call church, that we call the beloved community, your presence here now or at any other point in time, you're making a confession to me that you acknowledge that there is still work left to be done in your life and in your story. By us coming together, we confess that we don't have it all together. Now, if there is one among us here who has it all together, congratulations. You may now, although you don't need my authorization, you may now take your tassel from your left to your right, and you may exit stage right. We're so happy for you that you have it all together. No. This is what it means to be alive. Like the widow, we may taste justice. We may taste fulfillment. Part of that which we are striving for, part of that which we are working for, part of that which we are longing for, part of that which we pray for day in and day out, night in and night out, we may taste it. But in Christ, it is not old, it is not new, there is always more. There is always a future. There is always hope. And to be alive is not to be saved or unsaved. To be alive is not to be right or left. To be alive is not to be Greek or Jew. To be alive is not to be black or white. To be alive is to be on the way towards more fulfillment with Christ. And this is one of the many reasons we need to get rid of some of these divisions. This division of old and new just doesn't work anymore. It is not old, it is not new. God is and has been and will be. This is the nature of love. This is the nature of God's grace. And so for you, my friends who are facing addiction or you're walking with someone you love who is, For you, my friends, who have been longing, longing, longing for your children to return to the faith tradition. And at Thanksgiving, you walk on religious eggshells so as not to offend anyone. For you, my friends, who feel as though you don't belong, even though everyone around you has told you you belong, and you still don't feel like you belong. For you, my friends, who have thought and believed you might be able to achieve, and it just never really came to fruition, are you with me? Roosevelt said, when we get to the end of our rope, we tie a knot and we hang on. For you, my friends, who have seen the end of your rope, for you, my friends, who have tied a knot at the end of that rope, and in this very moment you are dangling, and it's all the strength and it's all the ability that you have to hold on. For you, my friends, there is more. There is fulfillment. There is a future. And all of this is in Christ, who is on the way. And it is for this that we pray, which is almost everything. Let's pray together. We each confess that there are aspects, there are relationships, there are possibilities in our lives in which we would give every dime that we own and every cell of our bodies to see fulfilled, O God. We remember now, fulfillment is not based upon how much we give or how long we struggle, but that fulfillment is always found in Christ, who is on the way to more. Give us persistence, perseverance. Give us the strength and the faith to go through and not just around. Encourage us to remind us that we belong, that we have a place, that we're not limited. Remind us that there is always more, always good, always grace, always love in the person and in the presence of Jesus. It is for this we pray, in the name above and beyond and before all names, the name of true love, Christ our Lord. Amen.